the Milner girl. She'd been hit upside the head, like if you took a hatchet and used the hammer end of, you know, you've seen the hatchet where it's a blade on one end and it's a square hammer head on the other. Her little hands were taped together with duct tape. We had a hair. Now, hair is not an absolute means of identification, but with other things, it helps, and it's admissible in a court of law. So a OSBI hair person found this hair that was between the tape, like it dropped off. She identified it as having, in all aspects, the same characteristics as Gina Roy Hart's hair. And I remember that. To me, that was some strong stuff there, particularly since Hart did not take the witness stand. Of course, the jury's not supposed to draw any inference from that. Part of what bothered me here, Garvin Isaacs was held in contempt of court at the end of this trial. It was based upon, I had asked the judge to enter a motion in limine, that means before the action here, at the beginning of the trial, so that there would be no reference to the fact that Gene Hart was under several hundred years of sentences for these other crimes. Now, if he took the witness stand, I could have used that to impeach his credibility, but he didn't take the witness stand. You'd say, well, why wouldn't you want that in? If Isaacs wants to put that in, that would help the jury, you know, might inferentially help the jury. So I have is, well, not necessarily, because they might think, well, he's taken care of, but why should we convict? You know, that may not be the healthiest thing to do. So I had asked the judge, he entered the order. And during the closing arguments, Garvin, I can't remember the words he used, but he said sort of as a throw-in at the last minute. Oh, and by the way, he's already under 300 years of sentences. He's not going to go anywhere. So Judge Whistler, who was the judge presiding, he held him in contempt. And then, if I'm correct in my memory, and I think I am, he allowed him to purge the contempt by apologizing to the court. But anyway, Mr. Milner was a police officer. The little black girl's daddy was a police officer. At the time that I was getting involved in that case, his beat was the downtown area, which used to be the mall. I don't know if it's a street or a mall now. It changed again. That was his beat. So when Judge Whistler had us all get together in preparation for the trial, he said, we're going to have a crowd, I'm afraid. And he was right about that. We've got to reserve some seats for the parents and the family of the victims, and seats for the family of the defendant, so that they'll have a place there and they won't have to fight the crowd. So he said, how many seats would you need? I took an inventory with my people, with the farmers and the Gooseys. And Mrs. Milner, she said, I'll be there. And I think her mother was going to be with her. She and Walt Milner was his name, Walt. They were separated or divorced at that time. So we go through the preliminary hearing. That's merely to see if there's sufficient evidence for it to go to trial. And the judge said, yes. I said, I better call Walt and tell him that we're going to trial here, and I know he'll want to be there. So I can't remember if he came up to my office or if I saw him on the street and said, Walt, you didn't show up at the preliminary hearing, and we still have that seat for you over there in that trial. He said, I can't come. I said, you can't come. He said, no, I won't be there. This is his daughter. I said, do you not approve of this prosecutor? No, not that at all. He said, if I come, it'll all be ruined. I said, what do you mean it'll all be ruined? He said, I'll kill him. He said, I'll kill him. Man, he just shaking. He said, I can't trust myself if I go there. And he didn't. But he's passed away, I think, with a heart attack some years back. The tragedy to the family. It's a tragedy to the Gene Leroy Hart family. I mean, it's just a horrible, horrible tragedy. And the outcome can never be good in a thing like that. The only thing about it is bringing some peace to the minds of people. And I'm not sure that will ever happen in this case.
Gene Leroy Hart then goes back to prison after he's acquitted of the Girl Scout murders.
That is correct, and he still had those sentences out of Tulsa County for the rapes and kidnappings. So he's in the penitentiary, and within 4 months, he dies in the penitentiary. He apparently had eaten dinner and was doing some jogging or something, and it feared that he'd had a heart attack. Well, when that happened, my gosh, you can imagine the reaction. I remember Mr. Goosey making a comment, which I totally agree with, about how a man's justice may be halting and slow at times and uncertain, whereas the Lord's judgments are certain when they happen. Then I got to thinking, and I remember hearing somebody said, oh, you know, somebody got to him. It was not a natural death, is what they were suggesting. As a result, I got a hold of the state medical examiner, not just the county medical examiner, and ask him if he would personally do the autopsy, knowing that there was going to be, you know, a lot of question about that. He did. He said that there had been some other heart attacks that Gene Hart had had, so he apparently hadn't damaged heart there. That was not a happy time for a lot of people either.
Yeah, he died, but it still didn't put an end to the...
Oh, no. No, it just makes the mystery even broader
yeah.
and greater. And people like mysteries. That was a mystery.